Uncle Poop Chase.
What's good, everybody? What's going on? What's happening? What's smacking? As you can see, today is a special day. We have a guest. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a guest. Yes, as you guys can see, we have a guest here. But before I say anything else, let me stop being a loser and let you introduce yourself. You know, let me be a gentleman. Let the lady introduce herself. Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you. What's going up, y'all? It is the Aunt Amanda B.
Hey.
Thank y'all.
Hey. The Aunt Amanda B.
The aunt.
Emphasis on the aunt. Mm-hmm. You're going to tell us how, you know, we'll ask you that later.
Mm-hmm.
How did you become the aunt? We'll get to that later. Well, the aunt, thank you so very much, Amanda B, for coming to Wafers Blunt Talk. We do appreciate you being here. I know you are a very, very busy lady.
You know.
You have a lot of things going on.
Got some time off.
Okay. Well, before we get into anything else, can you tell the people a little bit about yourself, please?
What's up, y'all? It is the aunt. I am an aunt. No. I'm originally from Sacramento.
Yep.
Okay. I came to Los Angeles in the Southern California about 3 years ago.
All right.
I've been working on media.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the cannabis industry for a very long time, since it was even an industry, I guess.
Before it was even a legal industry.
Before it was even a thing.
Okay.
And currently, I am a dispensary manager.
A dispensary manager.
It just happened to look all of that experience.
Well, first and foremost, shout outs to Sacramento.
916.
What's that? Shout out to Sacramento. I went to high school in Sacramento, so I got a little for Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you said that you are a dispensary manager.
Yes, currently.
Currently.
A dispensary.
I don't know what a dispensary manager does.
You don't know what a dispensary manager is?
I don't know what they are. No, I'm just kidding. I know what y'all do now. But at one point in my life, I would not have known what y'all did, because I wasn't in the industry. Obviously, you know, I don't hide it, but I got into the industry a little bit later in my life. Some people have been doing this since they was, you know, who knows. I got into it right about the turn of 2020 is when I got into it. And so I was just about out of my 20s, and I was like, man, I want to get into a different field. But 4 years ago, if you told me you were a dispensary manager, I'd be like, the fuck is that?
I mean, 4 years ago, if I was a dispensary manager, I don't think it would be the same.
True.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you would even tell people you were a dispensary manager 4 years ago. I don't think you legally could even tell people, hey, guess what? That's what I do for a living.
Right.
So now I know what they do, but I still have to ask you, for the good people sitting at home who do not know what you do, what is a dispensary manager and what do y'all do?
I mean, a dispensary manager does a little bit of everything. You have to make sure that the store is actually fully maintained.
Yes.
But you have to make sure that at this point, we're a retail store. We're a customer service.
Yes.
You're going to have to make sure that things are stocked.
Yes.
Things are clean.
Yes.
You got to work with metric.
Metric is probably...
I saw a shirt the other day that said, fuck metric, and I felt the fuck out of
That's hilarious.
Yes. So...
So y'all actually be doing shit.
I mean, I'm speaking for my hardworking self, and I absolutely do so.
So you're speaking for yourself.
Everybody, you know, people.
Pop your shit. So you said some dispensary managers don't be doing shit?
No. Hey, listen.
Oh,
listen,
so that's what you're doing?
Listen. Don't start nothing.
I'm just playing.
Don't start no shit. Don't be doing shit.
Man, whatever. Fuck them. No, I'm just kidding. Nah, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to say some dispensary managers don't be doing shit. Because I can't say that every dispensary manager...
I mean, in reality, I don't want to be like, it's not a hard job, because mm-hmm. I've been a manager of dang near every job I've worked at.
Yeah.
But to be able to work in cannabis and to be able to manage a shop in cannabis when I was once working in a trap shop.
Yeah.
And there wasn't even real books.
Sure.
And you can only take cash. Like, it's cool for me to be able to operate and maintain, because I already know what we should be looking for and things of that
Facts.
Sort. But it... it still makes, you have to be able to operate. You have to be able to communicate. I talk to brands every day, all day. I talk to sales reps, managers, brand ambassadors. I am a brand ambassador as well. So I'm able to relate and actually make things pop and grow. So, you know, I'm a dispensary manager, but, you know, I aspire to grow within the actual networking community.
Okay.
I really have a thing for, like, the marketing side.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, no, I definitely could see you doing something in marketing. My thing is this. I guess for me, I feel like dispensary managers get a bad rep.
I think they do. I think they get a bad rep for being lazy.
Yeah.
I think they get a bad rep for not really knowing how to do their job.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
I think they get a bad rep because you manage a weed spot. Like, people don't respect that still.
That's like, where I actually feel like y'all get the bad rep. That's where I feel like,
oh, sorry. Yeah. Return weed up.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, for me, I wish dispensary managers would email back. I wish dispensary managers would send me my numbers. I wish dispensary managers would, you know, set up my PADs.
And like, I do my best. What's up with y'all? I handle all of that. But I handle all of that. Now, what I will say is when we get an order, I don't care about your email.
Okay,
I'll be honest with you. I do my best to block my time. But if you're short-staffed, if you have a line out the door because it's fucking Friday, you know what I'm saying? But as a manager, the tests don't stop. Just like the test don't stop for the regular bartender, but you now have all the stuff on your plate.
Yeah.
So that is one thing that I really try to make sure to maintain, because you can't just be like, oh, well, we were busy. We're always going to be busy. We sell weed.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like
it's a lot of picky choosy. I think people take the job a little bit too serious.
You said it.
I'm 31, though.
You said it.
I think it's a great job. I think it's a great position, and I'm very grateful.
I feel like cats take your position.
Don't treat people like that. That's weird. You're being weird.
I respect.
Stop disrespecting.
I respect the craft. Okay? I respect the craft. But
when we clock out,
my ninja, you're just a fucking human.
Bro. We clock out though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a person with bills, and you have bills.
Yeah.
And it's all about what you do with the position. Like, I'm very grateful to meet people every day and network with people.
Yeah.
And be able to bring them back around when I want to include something that's not involved in just my position.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you work a cool job. Don't get me wrong, right? Like, I think your job is cool. But like I said, you guys get a bad rap because people don't know what y'all really do. So then, like, people can be demeaning. But then y'all got motherfuckers in this job who think they're like, like, I don't know what fuck going on. Top flight security guard crit. I don't know. And it's like, luckily for me, I've met way less people like that than I've met more people. Like, most people are pretty chill. Most people are like, take the job for what it is and just go with it. But, you know, that's just some cats who just be, woo, man. Because, like, and the reason why I guess I'm pressing so hard on this, because another point you made is you say you're a brand ambassador. And, you know, I'm definitely, I have a soft spot for brand ambassadors. Is I once was a brand ambassador, then a brand ambassador of managers before I got into the position I am now. But it's funny because, like, as my time as a brand ambassador, as a male brand ambassador, I definitely know my experience was a lot different from female brand ambassadors. But I got to shape my opinion about dispensary managers as a brand ambassador.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, like, some managers are cool. They're super dope. Some managers are just fucking rude as shit, like for no fucking reason. And so when I, you know, every time I promoted or if I've gotten promoted in this industry, I've just thought about that. Like, I know how to approach, you know, dispensing managers. I just like, hey man, grain of salt, you know, with the respect. After that, don't bother. Like, if they fuck with you, cool. They don't, I don't care. Because, like, at the end of the day, like I said, it's just a job. But as a female brand ambassador, can you tell us a little bit about what that's like?
I think it's a little Well, from the male perspective, or from a male, like when males approach, mm-hmm. I should say, it's always funny, depending on what they do in the industry, like how they feel like they're going to move you. Because mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times, like, people from other brands have just, because they're in higher positions and I'm a brand ambassador, mm-hmm. that just thought that they were going to completely woo me off my size 4 foot. Mm-hmm. into a whole nother universe. Mm-hmm. That's always great because I have like the knowledge mm-hmm. and obviously the discipline to just be respectful and take that. And mm-hmm. I just always be like, there's so many young women in this industry that get just played.
Yeah.
Just based off just having this position and wanting to really get into the industry, that just get played out. And some of them like know what they're doing and that's whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
But some people really like, oh no, he said he's going to get me on. He said gonna get me on. The other part of it is just like I've learned a lot about myself and knowing that I'm going to stay in my lane of connecting with people because I have my own way of connecting with people and I have no problem, and I mean no problemo with people in their attire. But I've been treated a certain type of way because I did not wear the halter top and the skirt. Mm-hmm. I wore the t-shirt and the pants mm-hmm. and was still able to get a certain array out of people mm-hmm. and a certain excitement for me actually being able to educate them. I feel like I've been treated a certain type of way because I just didn't have the actual look of what they felt were going to sell the product, when in reality I sold the product by educating them on the product. I think a lot of people think brand ambassadors are just supposed to stand there. Mm.
Damn, you like, shout outs to Bean, you like people think that brand ambassadors are just supposed to shut up and dribble. But we're much more than that. I mean, and honestly,
you are a brand mm-hmm. ambassador. Your position is to educate every person that comes in your presence. They should leave from you knowing about the brand.
Absolutely.
That's the purpose of your position,
essentially.
And it's been taken a little far,
I mean,
in my opinion, of being in it for almost 2 years.
A little is a nice way of putting it.
I mean, not almost 2 years, because I did it again for like another brand and they did the same thing, and I'm not with them because I wasn't going to just look the part. I was gonna know the part.
I mean, for me, it's funny because you said that you didn't have the attire. Can you expound on that a little bit more?
Well, I had my clothes on. And again, I don't have a problem. Like, I be complimenting women all the time. Oh, you're cute. Like, that looks good on you. It's just what I'm comfortable in. And I'm not comfortable for exploiting my body parts for your brand. It's like, I'm not a nun, and I'm not like, obviously mm-hmm. I wear shorts in the summer, shorts and dresses in the spring and all of them shenanigans, but you're asking me to put a one piece on and the cheeks are out and the and whatever's out.
Well, you know, sex sales. So
sex sales, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
like I really. And that's fine. Yeah. Just so if I'm like, that's cool for you, why are you so mad that I'm saying it's cool for me? Because you're mad because I'm able to still get the results.
Yeah. That you get the same results, but you have the clothes on.
And then my favorite part is for like I explained the results and they didn't expect me to give them. I've literally had a woman tell me, thank you for educating me, as I thought you was just going to be standing over here and just. Like, she dead ass said that to me.
No, and I think you said that. She said that she thought you was gonna be a dumb bitch. Yes. That's what you said offline.
I mean, damn.
Yeah, tell the truth. Tell shame the devil. Tell the people what she really said.
Really thought she thought I was gonna be a dumb bitch.
That's what I was she standing said. There. You ain't gotta be PG. This is, I'm really smoking weed. Don't start with me now.
I'm not trying to be PG, but
that was funny
she
though.
She dead ass said thank you for educating me because I thought you was gonna be a dumb bitch. And I'm like, damn, crazy. I took that moment. And that was what, damn near a year ago? And I already had taken what I know I was going to do because I was judged so hardly for the first 6 months of me trying to do this. Because it was like, oh, no, she ain't got the part. She ain't got the part. She ain't got the part. Yeah. But I got the personality. It's like I got every other box. Then what you think is going to work. And it has been proven that it didn't work.
I mean, I come from a time period where niggas had Budweiser commercials and titties was everywhere. GoDaddy commercials and titties was everywhere. And hell, even one of my favorite music videos, next episode, was literally at a strip club. Feel me?
I mean, there's a movie named Showgirls that was made in 1995.
We ain't gonna talk about that. I'm just saying. And I'm gonna cut that for sure, because that's one of the worst movies. We ain't gonna
cut it. I mean, I'm sure
you're gonna. Most definitely. Ooh, Lord Jesus. But yes. Wish y'all could hear what we just cut out. Anyways, no, as you and I both know, we come from an era where things have changed a lot.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
Very much. So it is a funny thing now to think that the cannabis industry is somewhat being scolded for not having morals.
Scolded by who? People or myself? What I said about
it sounds like that's what you were scolding the cannabis industry.
I'm not scolding the cannabis industry, but don't act like that's the only way that things can get sold. See, I don't think
what you're saying is an issue. That's what I'm saying. I think what you're saying, though, from a perspective of two people who have seen, as you said, this is transition, right? It was one thing and now it's another. But that's the whole part about the one thing that we now, it being another, we're like, wow, like, all right, well, it was trap and it was blah blah blah. And you know, and it was like, well, when it was trap, well, there wasn't nobody worried about no morality of shit. I told you offline, one of my biggest problems with weed people, not weed men, because there's no such thing as weed men, it's weed people.
Weed people.
Is that back in the day, weed people could charge you whatever they wanted. You see what I'm saying? And if you were a girl, you know damn well a weed person was not charging you.
No, $35.
Exactly. Nigga wasn't charging you shit. Okay, sometimes a nigga was just happy you answered his phone call.
Yeah.
Fronted your shit, right?
Yeah.
So we coming from an industry where that was less than 10, 15 years ago. And so when I hear you and I acknowledge you when you're like, I do with my clothes on. I'd be like, well, chill out there, Jackie Robinson. Okay. You just the first Negro. I don't think that you're saying anything wrong. I just think that it is just like a very progressive new age, new wave way of looking at this industry that is, in my opinion, the best way of looking at it, because all this is about longevity.
Mm-hmm.
And with the respect, I'm about to talk about women's bodies, so please buckle up. If it's about longevity and you are a man or a woman, you cannot offer your body and be successful forever. Yeah. Hulk Hogan does not look like what that motherfucker used to look like 30 years ago. Feel me? It's just the idea of that man, but that's an old ass man. Arnold Schwarzenegger, have you seen that motherfucker lately? Have y'all seen Arnold? Arnold don't look like Arnold no more.
I mean,
So, like, that's what I say when it comes down to the body and shit like that. That's why I'm not really tripping off what you're saying, because it's like, I know there's mad women in the industry. I know there's mad talented women in this industry. I know there are going to be more women coming into this industry. And as those women that come into it are going to be younger, the women that were there prior to them are going to be, by definition, older.
Mm-hmm.
And with time, sex just isn't the first thing on your mind. That's just a natural thing. So, like, I know the industry and the women that are coming won't offer that type of option as being the first thing that sells, because, with all due respect, they're older. They've been here. They're experienced. I feel like the sex selling shit is just a young-minded thing, myself personally. That's my separate. I mean, some people don't agree. Some people just say they do, but I don't know.
I mean, it really is your motherfucking forte.
It's how you want to do it.
But it's about the results in just treating people a certain way.
So hold on, let me ask you something though. As a female brand ambassador, who do you blame, the females or the brands?
The females that wear it or the females that tell women to wear it?
I'm asking you. You give me your answer.
I mean, well, I think that I blame the women who force the women to feel bad because they didn't do it.
Yeah.
When that's not, especially when that's not like when you get the job.
Yeah.
Like if that's your job, like if your job is to work for a brand and their specific thing is they want your titties out and they want your body out, and then you go for it and you're like, well, I think I could do this with my clothes on. Like that's backwards thinking. Like you want me to feel bad for you, but you went into something that did that.
Yeah.
Like
you know what you were expecting. I'm sorry, but you knew
were getting yourself into.
Unfortunately.
But
yes. You know, you can't be coming in here.
When you're getting results and then another individual comes in and they try to pivot and say, well, this is what I know is going to happen, but you're already showing results with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's correct for you to tell me I need to change my clothes. Yeah. And then everything you're doing is not getting results. So I'm mad confused.
Yo, I'm so sorry. I'm about to make a movie reference to Cheetah Girls. But it's like more of a movie reference in music industry.
Yeah.
It's like when you're a musician, because this is the first person I can really think of, type of genre of work I could think of. But when you're a musician, you know, your first hit record, you usually write on your own. Or whatever gets you on, you kind of do on your own, right? And once you get to a major, whatever, or traditionally how when you get to a major, then they redo your whole image. And so that's a huge argument with most artists. They're like, hey, man, I don't need you to redo my image. I already know who I am. Like, trust me. Trust the process. And it's just like some people do it and it does work. But then some people do need their image a little bit touched up. But you're saying, yo, if I'm cooking.
Yeah, like if you don't have any results. Respectfully, I'm going to respectfully keep doing what I'm doing because I'm on to something, especially when I was doubting myself already or I was like, oh, and things are actually turning and you're receiving the results that people didn't even know you guys could get.
Yeah. I mean, respectfully, it is a thing of trial and error, though, because like you don't know what you know until you know it.
But don't treat people like the bottom of the gum on the shoe that a homeless man chewed because you just think it's gonna work.
Yeah.
And you like, come on, you're not, it's just not conducive to the growth of the business.
Well, for me, what will always bother me is that if you see a trend ending, you got to be okay with the pivot. Most people don't want to pivot. You know, most folks, I think what it is, especially when you, no matter what industry you're in, this industry, another industry, most folks just don't want to go away from what got them their first W. Not realizing that if you, when you win the game, not if you win the game, because when you're going to win the game, right? You keep working at something. But when you win the game, the issue becomes if you don't switch up your tactics, if you don't learn new strategies, yes, what you did won that game. But this industry, this business, there's going to always be another game. It's always going to be another day. So you still out there doing that same one, two. You ain't got no new crossovers. You ain't got no new layups, no new fadeaways. No new, you ain't got no new packages, no new VCs, no new nothing, no upgrades, no tattoos, no nothing. And so, yeah, the first 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 jabronis, you're going to beat them because obviously, motherfucker, you won the game. But that 11th game, that 12th game, that 13th game, they're going to start being like, oh, man, he always go to his left.
Right.
He always go to his right. Yeah. And then they're gonna be like, oh, and then when you doing it, they're gonna be able to telepath your shit. And then it's like, to me, that's why I just be like, trends are so dumb if you holding on to them. If you riding them, fine. Like, if you riding them the right way.
That's what I'm saying. Successfully.
Yeah.
Results.
If you riding trends the right way, it's cool, man. I don't care. Do your trend, do your thing, because everything must die. But if you just sitting here on your hands and you like, man, this is what worked back in 88. This worked in 88.
And it's like, stop telling me. Like, just like you said, because I pretty much was just going to say what you just said. Like, if it worked, it worked. That's fine.
Yeah.
But also look at your market and look how things are moving forward and look how, just again, and when I say I have my clothes on, that is not a diss. It's not a diss. I do not have a problem. I said it already. I'm going to say it again. I'll be like, you look really cute, because they be rocking stuff because they are comfortable in that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's them. Yeah. So if I got to let them be them, why can you not let me be me in this kitchen while I'm cooking and people is asking for refills?
I'll tell you why. Because if you do something that breaks the mold, you are now the new normal. And it took me a long time to realize that, like, oh man, let me just do my own thing. And it's like, yeah, motherfucker, let you do your own thing. Well, definitely, you just better not impede on what they got going on.
And this is the cannabis industry. Yeah. Like, there's still people that scoff at people who are going to festivals and events and we smoking weed all dang day.
Yeah.
People scoff at this. So in the matter, if you think you're
going to, I mean, the industry in itself is still growing. So that's why, like I said, I don't necessarily like, if you get half naked, cool. If you don't get half naked, I don't give a fuck.
Whatever.
Like, if
your just brand don't is, criticize and treat people in that manner, because the world growing.
Or do. Do. Or and do. Watch what's going to happen to your brand. I don't give a damn. I care less about what people do as long as they don't affect me and my money.
My money.
Yeah, you ain't affecting my results. Okay, so we're going to get up out of here in a minute because we've been talking long enough. But you have something coming up, correct? You want to tell the people about?
We do have something coming up. We have the Night Shift Girls with my girl, Yes. She's not here, but Yes. We're going to go ahead and have a women's event on March 22nd. The female is the future. This is something we're trying to put together. We're going to have donations for women so we can go ahead and drop it off to centers for women in need. We're going to have a lot of women brands out there so we can support. This is the Women's Month. We got to keep it going. It's going to be a lot of women cannabis brands out. It's going to also be some women businesses. So we have a little bit of mixtures. We're going to have a woman DJ and we're going to get it going.
Wow. Did you say what day it's going to be on?
It's going to be on March 22nd.
Okay.
From 4:20.
Yes.
To 8 p.m.
Did you say it was going to be it?
I'm not.
Oh, man.
I'm going to give him my Instagram. You know what I'm saying? They got to follow me.
My fault, dog. Anyways.
Because it's a location. You got to RSVP.
Hey, man, listen, I'm old.
I got to tell the purpose because it's a great purpose for the event. The event is purposeful.
I barely know how to use Apple Pay, y'all. So I don't know. You have anything else to tell people before you go? You have anything you want to tell people where to find you on social media?
Yes. You guys can go ahead and follow me at the aunt Amanda B _ on Instagram and on TikTok. I'm trying to use the TikTok this year. When you follow me on Instagram, you can go ahead and see the link for the Female is the Future. So you can go ahead and RSVP.
Again, thank you so very much, the aunt Amanda B, for coming.